podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message by our pastor, Steve Troyer, and that as you listen, your faith truly does come alive in Jesus.
We're continuing our series, One Name. Praise God, it's not my name. It's Jesus' name. And last week, we heard a really great sermon from Jake around the name that, it's the only name that casts out the demonic realm. It's the only name that breaks strongholds. Try any other name and you'll just get laughed at. If you ever enter into trying to break a stronghold, you find there is only one name, Jesus. And so we're going to continue this series. At the start, I talked about the triumph of Jesus, where he broke through at the cross. His blood was spilt for us, and that victory ends up being our triumph in overcoming other things. And so we stand in the name through his victory. And that's really important for us to remember today, because what we're going to talk about actually stems from his victory. And we're going to talk about prayer today. And I love Gabby. I can't see you at the moment, but oh, there you are, right there. Welcome to the front row. Thank you so much for choosing those songs too. And I love that first song. That's a really good song. We got to do that again and again. And just the prayer that God, you call us deep into prayer. The battle is certainly won by the Lord, but there is a participation that God calls us into, yes? And sometimes we give up in prayer. Sometimes we find ourselves getting wearied in prayer. Sometimes we feel like it's an inconvenience. Sometimes we even tick a box for prayer. But what I'm hoping for after this sermon is that you would actually fall deeply in love with Jesus, that his resurrection power will draw you to your knees to actually call on him in prayer. I love how last week Jake talked about the intimacy part of this and how Jesus calls him to himself. Okay, so last year at the gospel tent, Tim Hall called our whole row up and I went forward. Then he called me up onto the stage and he prayed over me and he said something like this, you're going to see a much deeper level of knowing Jesus, of knowing the Heavenly Father. And it's going to be like deep calling to deep. There's going to, and Mikey was up there on stage with me. I think you got some of that glory as well, mate. But there was this deep calling to deep, right? I didn't know, but a few weeks later, we'd actually be given notice that our hire facility was coming to a close within a month. And I can tell you, at that time, it really drew me to my knees in prayer. And right through that period up to now, there has been a deep calling to deep that I've discovered that's been so different to what I had experienced before. And I think it's God's heart for each one of us, actually, to be in that space where your deepest heart desires, your deepest needs, the deepest secrets of your heart are given over to him in prayer. And where there's that drawing near to him. I want so desperately for us as a church that each one would actually see the dial of their prayer turned up, where they see God at work in prayer. And so I recognize that the kind of discipleship that we're going after and the kinds of things God's calling us to, that it actually is an invitation to us to bring all those things to him in prayer. We're not going to see a move of God without first there being a move on our knees. Every move of God happens through prayer. There's not one that doesn't move. You see, it's just God's way. Can he move without me? Absolutely. Can he use somebody else? Absolutely. But he invites me to actually be involved with what he wants to do. He invites me to trust him and to seek him in faith and in intimacy. And not just for the big ticket items, but for the small things as well. So we're going to look at several passages that draw us back to the one name that we've been given. And the first one is a familiar one to most of you. It's John chapter 16. But we're going to start in verse 22 and read through to 24, which is the back end is probably more familiar than the front. So if you have your Bibles, how about you grab them? If you don't have one, steal the person next to you their Bible. We'll have it up on the screen as well, and just follow along. So John chapter 16, verse 22. So Jesus, at this time, he's just told the disciples he's about to be arrested, he's about to be tried, put to death, and that he's going to be raised back to life. And he said there's deep anguish at this time. So verse 22 we pick up. Jesus says, "So with you," speaking to the disciples, "now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." Say joy. No one will take away your joy. Next he says, "In that day," what day? Well, in this day of joy, "you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." Who thinks that's a really good deal? "My Father will," we'll come back to this. Verse 24, "until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete." The reason I read out verse 22 is because the disciples were about to go through a period of grief where it seemed like God was not near. Ever been there? Where you've actually been in a space where you're like, "God, I don't know where you are in the midst of this, but I know that I'm to press into you in the midst." And so he was warning them, you will have a time of grief. And for them, in this particular setting that Jesus is talking about, is for 3 days. And then their joy will come. You can imagine at the close of Jesus being resurrected, and now you meet Jesus face to face, and he's walking with you and eating with you. There is immense joy. What you thought was lost has actually been totally turned around. And I want to say to you, for you, wherever your story tracks, wherever your journey is right now, and even if you're not in this season right now, there will be a season at some stage where you find yourself in deep grief, where you find yourself in a place where, "God, where are you right now?" And certainly that was the case for me with going through all the transition as a church. "God, what is happening right now? What do I need to hear from you right now? What are you doing in the midst of all of this?" And he calls you deep in. I want to take you to a psalm that's been stirring for me over the last, several months, but in this last week in particular. So Psalm 84, if you'd turn there with me as well. And we're going to look at verse 6 initially. So Psalm 84, verse 6. And just to give you a little bit of background to this psalm, the psalmist actually says that he's on a search. He wants to know the presence of God. He wants to know the fullness of God. And in his day, with the Israelite tradition, they would take a pilgrimage from their hometown into Jerusalem, and it was a very intentional pilgrimage in order to meet with the presence of God. Can you imagine every time you wanted to be in the presence of God, you had to journey all the way to Sydney to actually get to the presence of God, right? And so he talks about this pilgrimage of wanting to know God's presence, this pilgrimage of hunger for him. And then he says in verse 6 that on the journey, this is what happens, as they pass through, say pass through. That's a really important phrase right there. As they pass through the valley of Baca. Now this word Baca actually means tears. As they pass through the valley of tears, they make it a place of springs. Can you hear the transition? The change, a place that was mourning, now a place that's starting to show some life. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. Just pause there for a moment. I love this particular passage from the psalmist because it actually it describes it so well. Like when we're seeking after an answer in our grief, we're seeking the Lord, we find ourselves in a place where we're on our knees, tears flow, and we're like, God, where are you in the midst of this? And the psalmist says, it's actually the seedbed for future glory. What happens in the valley is really important. That your tears actually become the watering of the next harvest. Isn't that amazing? And then added to that is this autumn rains. Like God brings his part to it. He brings his refreshing, or I don't think of refreshing when I think autumn rains. I think more of a, you know, the wind blowing through and, you know, when you're camping, your tent blowing around and rain just more destructive than it is a good thing. But here's the thing. Autumn only lasts a season. You're only passing through. The valley that you're entering into is not there to stay. And yet, I've seen so many believers who have made their camp in the valley of tears. They say things like, I prayed for that, but nothing happened. So God doesn't want anything for me in that area. I asked the Lord for tongues, but I didn't get it. It's not for me. They end up being in a space where they park themselves, they allow their experience of the valley to tell them who God is. There's joy coming on the other side of the valley. There is a God presence moment on the other side of the valley. So I want to go back to, we're going to come back to this scripture at the tail end of our sermon, but come back to John with me, John chapter 16. And we're just going to read that scripture one more time and then let's unpack it a little bit more. So John chapter 16 from 22. So with you, now is your time of grief. So that valley, that place where you're coming to him with tears, you're not sure what's around the corner. But I will see you again and you will rejoice. Isn't that great comfort? You will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. No one can take the joy away from you. It's different to happiness. I know that we had a kids spot a number of weeks ago that talked about happiness, and those who are in God are happy. But really, the truth is, it's actually joy. You can be going through the mountain ranges and the valleys and the prison and whatever it is. Joy stays with you right through it. Happiness only is a sense of what you receive in the moment. But joy is because you anchor yourself to who Jesus is. He doesn't change. So here is the resurrected Jesus. And it's from this that he says, in that day. Are we in that day? Yes or no? We are in that day. Yes, until Jesus returns. We are in the day of Jesus' resurrection. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be made complete. Notice the tie. Jesus' resurrection, joy. Then the answer to prayer, joy made complete. Let me just describe this a little bit more. Here, I stand on the resurrected Jesus, on what he has done for me. His resurrection power is in his name. His resurrection power is a reason I can call on his name. You can't call on a dead man. Like they have no authority. It's his resurrection power that actually gives him a name to call on. So that when I actually call on his name, I'm not just calling on a name as a formula, mind you. I'm actually calling on the one who is resurrected and who goes between me and the Heavenly Father. So that when I ask in his name, the Father goes, I know that one. When that prayer is answered, there is another joy that comes. It's like a joy on top of a joy, where you actually have your joy made complete, and it happens again and again and again. Anyone here had an answer to prayer before? Okay. Anyone had a really significant answer to prayer? Like it was a biggie. Great. Okay, so those significant answers to prayer, did it bring you joy? Absolutely, right? You saw God in the midst. And that's where we're meant to actually be living from. Many of us actually pray from a place of no joy. In Jesus' name, no joy. Have you ever been there before? I have. Where you pray and you're like, God, this is just overwhelming. And I just don't know what to stand on right now. And you forget the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. What would it look like if your prayers were actually from a place of joy? God, I know that we're facing the biggest hurdle in front of us and it's an impossibility. But because you are resurrected, I'm standing on that fact. And I'm going to press in through the valley until I see a move. I wonder what your experience is with that. And I know what my experience is. And look, there are times, honestly, where you find yourself in a place where you've forgotten the joy of Jesus' resurrection. Now, when you pray in Jesus' name, like even at the table, when you're about to eat, and we still hold this practice. I don't know if it's a common practice still, but where you pray and you just say, thank you, Lord, for this food. Bless it to our body's needs in Jesus' name, right? Many of us just do it flippantly. We don't think through the fact that when we say in Jesus' name, we're actually standing on the authority of his resurrection power. So that when you're eating pizza that's really greasy and not good for you, you can actually say, blessed to my body's needs. I'm not saying that. But yeah, that in Jesus' name, the resurrection power will actually, right? But there is something about standing on the fact that he is resurrected so that when you pray in Jesus' name, and it could come very familiar to you, that to the point where you have to just pause in prayer and just go, hang on a minute, in Jesus' name, in his resurrected power, I'm going to call on him. Okay, let's have a look at chapter 15. Are you doing okay? Okay, good, rightio. Just making sure we're not losing anyone here. So John chapter 15, verse 7 and 8, Jesus has just talked about the vine and the branches and remaining in him, and he repeats it again. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask, here it is again, whatever you wish and it will be done for you. He's very certain of this. It's not it may be done for you. It will be done for you. This is to my Father's, what? Glory. This is to my Father's glory. Highlight that, underline it. Understand that when you actually push through the valley, you're actually doing something that's bigger than just an answer for you. It's actually to the glory of the Heavenly Father that you bear fruit. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves, interesting, to be my disciples. Just take that in for a moment. If you get stuck in the valley, then there is no glory. And if there's no glory for the Heavenly Father, then we actually do him a disservice. He's actually calling us into, press in, church, press in. Take a hold of every obstacle. Bring it to me. Press through. Ask me. I will give it to you. Now, he doesn't always give the way that we thought he would. But many times he surprises you because he gives even greater than what he thought or we thought he would. And so I love this. He says, it's for the Father's glory. Now, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, what does that mean? Well, to remain in Christ is really to be fully submitted, fully yielded to Jesus alone. In other words, you can't just come to Christ and say, well, you said to pray in your name and yet still desire to hang on to the world, yet still desire to hang on to your philosophy, yet still desire to hang on to your own wisdom. Now, it's a full yieldedness to Christ to say, Jesus, you have permission to train me up into everything. What do you do with a new vine? You train it up so that it can bear the most fruit. Jesus, train me up to be one that bears much fruit. Remember the four soils Jesus talks about? He talks about the path, the rocky soil, the weedy soil. What was in the weedy soil and the rocky soil? Does anyone remember? What did it actually stand for? Okay, cares of this world and, yeah, worries. Good. Anything else? The devil? Not specifically, but he is involved. Yes. Yep. Anything else? I missed that. Oh, hard hearts. Yes. So, yeah, the rockiness does have that image of hard-heartedness. So he goes on to say the worries of the world. Persecution was one of them as well. When somebody goes through trials in the valley, they don't make it through and they get stuck in the valley. And then also when he talks about the cares of this world, he also talks about wealth and all those trimmings that pull you in. I heard on the TV the other day they were talking about... No, it was a book I was reading. It's talking about when you own something, the more you own, the more you have things that own you because you have to take care of it, right? And I always watch, I don't know why I'm thinking of this right now, but this is what comes to mind. Always watch those, you know, guys who are taking their dog for a walk and then their dog poops. And you're like, who invented this? Like, that who's the master here? I have to pick up his poo. Doesn't seem like a good deal to me, but here we go, right? How did I get there? I don't know. Remain in Jesus. That's where we need to be, yeah. So remain in him, and then he will remain in you. Now, how he remains in you is that his word gets planted in you and you hold firm to it. The reason why I mentioned the four soils is because when you have those rocks and weeds in your life, you've actually given attention to other things other than Jesus in your life. And they, in time, and I've seen it happen again and again in my observation of people as a pastor, as they grip a hold on to two things, James says you can only hope to bear the fruit of the lesser kind. And so as they grip onto it, eventually they get to the point of they're saying, God does not meet me in my need. Why? Because in the valley, they had actually gripped onto their experience rather than strengthening themselves in the Lord. We need to be totally ignited by Jesus. Remain in him. His word will remain in you. What is his word? Well, it's very simple, to love one another as he has loved us. It's simple and yet it's so deep. And so Jesus says, just remain in me. And you position yourself for fruit bearing. You don't have to be a super theologian to bear fruit. Praise God. You don't have to be somebody who's grown up in a Christian home to bear fruit. In fact, you probably have a disadvantage because you've just gotten used to the religious trimmings of what you should do. But what you need is a surrendered heart. Just to take a hold of him. And in that, you find yourself bearing fruit. Praise God. Bearing fruit is really easy if you just remain in him. So he says, if you remain in me and I remain in you, ask whatever you wish. It's a condition of remaining in him. What happened to the fourth soil? Well, it had no rocks, no weeds. And the soil produced 30, 60, 100-fold return. That's what a farmer wants. Right? So what happens if I do not allow God, I get stuck in the valley, I perhaps even pray, but I'm praying out of my own strengths rather than on his joy of his resurrection. What happens to me now if I don't bear any fruit? Well, we find in verse 2, which I don't have up on the screen for you, but let me just read this to you. John 15, verse 2. The Father, so he, cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Isn't that interesting? Let's go back down to verse 8. He says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Disciples bear fruit. Disciples don't get caught in the valley. They go through the valley, but they don't stay there. They seek the Lord until he comes through. They pursue him. They call on his name. Verse 16 ties this into his name where he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Whole purpose, again, restated. Fruit that will last. You see, when we do things in our own strength, we bear fruit that only lasts for a short term. But when you do it through Christ, you bear fruit that lasts. And so whatever you ask in my name, here it is, in my name, the Father will give you. Okay. So I want to encourage you to find yourself, if you're in the valley, to pursue the Lord. I love a story that Matthew picks up on in chapter 17. In fact, I think a number of the Gospels do. And Jesus has just come down from the Mount Transfiguration. Nine of the disciples are already down at the base of the mountain. And somebody's approached them and asked them, as a father of a son who's really troubled. The son keeps on going through like epileptic style of fits, throwing himself into the fire or into water to kill himself. And so it's quite a demonic attack on this child, and it's been for some time. And the disciples, they're praying, they're in the valley, and nothing's happening. And they're asking the Lord, what do we do with that? And when Jesus comes down, he takes charge, he casts the demon out. And then the disciples ask in verse 19, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replies in verse 20, Matthew 17, 20, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Praise God. How about we just read that last part together? Are you ready? So from nothing. Here we go. One, two, three. Nothing will be impossible for you. One more time. Nothing will be impossible for you. This time I want you to say it, but with your name inserted. So it sounds like this. Nothing will be impossible for Steve. Go for it. Hopefully you didn't say Steve. Right. That was just an idiot test there, but... oh, yeah, Steve. You can say Steve, of course. Yeah. Right, so... Yeah. That's great, mate. That's good. So here, Jesus is teaching them. Now, because you have so little faith, this phrase, so little faith, is actually from one word, and it's actually better... got the wobbly there. It's better translated as unbelief rather than so little faith when you go back to the original Greek word. So because you have unbelief, truly I tell you, if you have faith, so there is a faith in Jesus' resurrection to stand firm on him. At this point, they're looking ahead to what will happen, but he's telling them it actually requires faith to stand on who God is and that he's given you the authority through Jesus' name, which was true in their day also. They cast out demons by the name of Jesus. And they'd had some success prior, so this one was a bit of an anomaly for them. And so Jesus says, because you had unbelief in this circumstance, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. Now, when he says as small as a mustard seed, he's not saying itty bitty little faith, right? Like, if I can just squeeze a little bit of faith in my prayer, then he will move. No, what he's saying is that even if you don't see the outcome yet, you know that a seed is a seed. If I have an apple seed in my hand, I know it's going to reproduce apples in the right conditions. It will reproduce with much fruit. If I know I have the DNA, the promise of Jesus in my spirit, then what is it going to produce? Fruit, right? It's going to produce the same fruit that he produces. Who wants to produce the same fruit that Jesus produces? Do you understand? If you're producing the fruit of Jesus, you're producing everything of Jesus. Heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, lead people to faith, hear from heaven. All of those things become possible because you have the seed. And it takes faith to go, I can only see this much, but I know what Jesus can do. I'm going to apply what Jesus can do to that circumstance and pray through the valley. So he says, you can do all these things because nothing will be impossible for you. I love Mark's rendition of this. He says, this kind comes out with prayer and fasting. Now, we're talking about prayer and in Jesus' name. And yes, there is a prayer when you're actually casting out a demon or healing the sick. But he's talking about a different kind now. It's prayer that's on your knees in the private place before you even get to the circumstance where somebody needs a breakthrough. I have been in situations several times, many times, where I've been introduced to an issue that somebody else needs a breakthrough in, and I find myself dry because I haven't prayed up before. I don't even know if that's a word. I heard Vanessa use it the other week, prayed up. You may not remember, it's in our prayer time. But there is something about being on your knees in prayer, even before you know what you're actually up against. Did Jesus know that this was going to happen? Possibly, maybe not. But he certainly had time in prayer and fasting, seeking the Lord. God, may your kingdom come. When we go to school this week, may your kingdom come. God, when we go to Fiji, may your kingdom come. Lord, when I disciple this person, may your kingdom come. All of these things in prayer, as you're seeking the Lord, he prepares you for the glory to come in the public space. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and 6, I think it might be chapter 6, he says, when you pray, pray in private, in the private setting where nobody else is around. And I tell you, what is prayed in the private will manifest in the public. And so I'm trying to tease you into some hunger for the presence of Jesus when no one else is watching. Why is it so important to get used to praying when no one else is watching? Because the reward comes from heaven. That's what you're going after, not from men. Why is it important to fast and to take some time out to just say, Lord, all I want is you to move? Because you want his reward. You don't want the reward that comes from other avenues. Those rewards are fleeting. They're fruit that comes and goes. You want the fruit that will last. So let's go back to Psalm chapter 84, and this is where we're going to close. And we're going to read the verses prior and after to verse 6, where we talked about the valley of tears. So Psalm 84, verse 5. Let's start there. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca or tears, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. If you're in the valley right now, strengthen yourself in the Lord. Set your eyes on the pilgrimage to his presence. Set your eyes on the joy of Jesus resurrected. And push through the valley, not in your own strength, but through prayer and just seeking the Lord. There's so much power in the Lord's Prayer where he says, may your kingdom come, may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. I've been praying that a lot lately, that particular one, over several different things. Can I tell you that for us as a church, at the start of the year, Al Watts said that we were in deficit a certain amount as a church, Just to give you kind of like the information of where we're at as a church. Well, we've had some funds come in that has almost deleted that debt altogether. And God is so good, hey. But in the private space, I can tell you there were people praying, God, give us this day our daily bread. Even on a personal level, we've been praying that. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. This is all part of remaining in Him. God, I want to be in a place of love, not gripping on to needing somebody to pay me back or to pay them back for what they've done. It actually releases them in order to be someone. And then finally, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And I've been praying that over our church, God, where there is known waywardness, where people have found themselves going down a track, where their thinking has come under a fleshly thinking rather than a spirit, Holy Spirit-led thinking. God, would you come and lead them out of temptation? Lead them to grab a hold of you. So you need to know, church, you've been prayed for. You're being soaked in prayer. And you need to pray for each other in that way too. Where when you know people around you are struggling through something, they're in the valley. Maybe the valley is an addiction they can't break. Maybe the valley is a broken relationship. Maybe it's something that they're looking for a breakthrough in leading somebody to faith in their workplace. But whatever the valley is, pray for each other that we would actually stand firm on the name of Jesus, the one name that you've been given. It's the only name by which heaven listens. It's the only name by which demons flee. So here's what we're going to do. If you're in a valley currently, I want you to stand because we're just going to pray and we're going to ask the Lord for a breakthrough. Normally a valley comes with sometimes a measure of loss of hope. Sometimes a valley is something where you just don't have an answer to where you're actually going. It can be as simple as, I'm in the valley because I'm waiting for, like for us as a church, waiting for what's going to happen with the Bunnings building. Which, by the way, we may have a conversation this week with BWP, which you can be praying for. But what valley is significant? Like, are you in a valley right now? Where you're like, God, I don't know where you are in the midst of this. If that's you, how about you stand and let's just pray for each one, because we're going to ask the Lord to really meet each of us in our valley where He leads us. Now remember, Psalm 84 says, blessed are those. You are blessed standing, just saying, God, I'm taking my strength from you, not from anyone else. I'm deciding to put my eyes on you. And then you're on a pilgrimage. I'm going after what you have. There are things that I just don't know the end to, and sometimes it brings me to tears, but I know it's just a season. Listen, He's going to take you from strength to strength. That's His promise. He's going to take you from strength to strength. Is there anyone else who wants to stand? I feel like there might be some more. Okay. Rightio, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, it's in your name, the resurrected power of Jesus' name. Father God, you know the valley that each one is standing in right now. And Father God, for some, there has been a loss of hope. And I pray, Father God, that you'd come and just minister to their hearts right now, that Jesus, you, the resurrected one, would minister directly into their spirit right now. Come and show them who you are. Come and show them who you've made them to be in you. Give them a place of joy where they can stand firm on who you are, whether it be a health issue, whether it be a mental issue, whether it be a breakthrough needed at work or finances, or whether it even be a belief issue. Father God, I pray that you'd meet them right now in the name of Jesus. And we just pray over you right now, that God would actually come and stir you towards what to pray for, but that He would also meet you in the midst and answer every prayer in the mighty name of the resurrected one, Jesus Christ. that you would actually see the breakthrough where even relationships are restored, where you see the hand of God, and where there's a joy that is made complete because you've seen the breakthrough. Father God, we lift up each one and we thank you for them. We thank you for what you're doing in their life right now, that you would stir them to just take another stand on the strength of Jesus in them. In Jesus' mighty name. How about everybody stand now? We're just going to pray for each of us. And I don't know where you're at when it comes to your prayer life. For some, your prayer life consists of as I'm driving to work, so on your commute, you're speaking to God, and there's certainly a place to do it. But I want to encourage you to find the quiet place where it's just you and God, between you and God. Even though the car can be quiet, you've still got your attention on certain things. I want you to find a place where you are with the Lord and you're just seeking Him. Because honestly, church, where we're going needs you in prayer. Where we're going, there's a wave of the Spirit coming that needs a people who are deeply in prayer. If you want revival like what you're seeing overseas, it comes at the back of Holy Spirit moving on the back of prayer. So let's pray. There are people who are not here in our church yet who actually desperately need a move, not just you. And it comes from prayer. So Father God, would you make us a people of prayer? Would you come and release upon us a hunger for your presence, a hunger and a desire to know your word, to know you in Jesus' name. Break every opposition that, any hidden demonic spirit that it is even causing people not to want to move forward in reading the word or in praying. Father God, right now, we just call that out in Jesus' name and we bind you up and we declare over each person here freedom to pray, freedom to stand on the joy of Jesus' name and Him resurrected. Father God, make our joy complete. Lead us, Lord God, in our part to be fruitful in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thanks heaps for listening to this week's message. To find out more about what's happening in the life of our church and how you can join in with all the fun, head to newvinelakes.com.au or find us on social media. Have a lovely week.